Michael's here. I'm the DeFalco Files, the owner and creator of FSW here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, so who's it harder getting money from, Triller or from the students at the school?
I got to say Triller for sure, because, you know, at least with some of the students, they'll give you a partial payment. I can't even get a partial payment. It's like, geez, how many messages can you send? You know, but you let me know the feed went out. Somehow you're able to send 3 WhatsApp messages and the emails and the text is over, you know, hey, just so you know, the feed went well, but we're having a hard time getting in touch with you. It's like, well, yeah, I'm running a show. So if there's no issues, leave me alone. Like, I don't get what the problem is. Like, I don't want to, I can't react to everything because you guys do WhatsApp. Mikey's running a feed. So he's not on doing the WhatsApp. My phone is up front for payments, and I'm not using a computer walking around running a show, and I'm doing commentary sometimes. You know, what's the best way to reach you? Well, there really isn't. We're doing a show. It's like, reach me before the show. You know, I get if there's an issue, but we'll know on our end. Like, we knew that there was no feed at the Benefit for Bay because Hammerstone hit the fucking table and it knocked off the internet connection. Yeah, we figured that out. Right. But it's like, okay, I get it, but we've done 150 shows there and you've never had to contact us before. Now, why is it, you know, code fucking red? But then I'll send you 3 messages in 3 weeks about where's my payment from January, and I can't even get a, hey, we'll get it to you, we're working on it. Just ghost you.
Yeah.
Very appreciative.
Well, you know, hopefully things go better because you got some stuff coming up here. And the calm before the storm is the next thing on tap here on Saturday, May 31st from the FSW Arena. You know, 7 o'clock start time. The show is shaping up to be a good one.
Yeah, you know, it definitely is. The calm before the storm as we're setting up for the 16th anniversary show. And, you know, the thing is, we usually have a really big buildup going into the anniversary show. But because of one casino show, which ended up being the Mecca, but it was the Benefit for Bay, that was a specialized show that featured basically non-main FSW guys, except the top tier and all the guys that we brought in. So now it's okay. We, you know, we got April. But then April became WrestleMania weekend, and the shows we did were a Future Legend Women's show, and then we ended up holding the place and then worked out where we did an ID show for WWE, and that included a couple FSW talents, but it didn't include an FSW storyline in any way. So right. Now we had the one show in May, which was at the beginning of the month, which was, I believe, Let It Ride or whatever it was called. And now we got one at the end of the month. So we've only had two shows. And fortunately, we built up number one contenders match and Ice and Limelight was set anyway. And right. Brittany Brooks and Gypsy Mac was set anyway. So those two matches were kind of set up. But now it's like, okay, well, we got cash in the case. Who's going to be in it? Well, we got to figure that out. So now we're going to have some qualifying matches. Jay Vidal returns and Thugnificent, who we were looking to actually have a tag match to bring them back, the Regulators, against the tag team champions, Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire. We thought it'd be a really good match. Yeah. But then EJ Sparks hurt his neck at a United show last month. So we tentatively had them scheduled for the 31st, and then I hadn't heard anything. And I'm like, hey, Thug, you know, what's up for the 31st? And he was like, yeah, you know, EJ said he'll be ready in June. Now, I don't know if that's by June 15th or he'll be ready in June sometime toward the end of June. So right. It's like, okay, well, I need a match for Jay Vidal in this. And, you know, we're banding it about, hey, what would be a good match? Well, JKM is going to have a qualifying match against Luke Curtis, a newcomer, and Kevin Koa. It's going to be a triple threat match. So it's really nice. Contrast of styles in that one. But initially, it would be like, hey, what would be a cool match? Thugnificent and JKM would be awesome. But it's like, you know what? I think the best one would be Jay Vidal and Thugnificent. So we got that. Just told you what the JKM match is. Then we got a first time ever. We're going to have a tag team officially be in the cash in the case. Since you can cash in for any championship, well, why not do a tag team? So we got the Faction, Fresco and Watson, and they'll take on Sky High. So the winner of that match goes in, and kind of like when we do with the Rumble, why not have groups be in place to work together?
Right.
And I think it's a nice little concept, which enhances the chances of two guys taking out the rest.
Right. And also the conflict between two guys potentially grabbing the case.
Because, well, that too, but why wouldn't they cash?
But technically, right? If one of the tag team members grabs that cash in the case, now the question is, could that person actually just cash it in themselves?
He could. They're going in as a tag, but it doesn't mean, you right. know, Watson can be playing the long game yeah. and using Fresco, because, you know, Watson has had a pretty good run in the yeah. the singles matches.
Right. And talk about long story there. That'd be the ultimate, you know, I've just been tagging with you to get to this epic point where I can.
Yeah. He figured 3 years down the road that this moment may come.
Yes. But yeah, it's a nice little twist. It's a nice little flavor. It's also great to see Evil Robbie there with the facial hair and the long hair. And I mean, you know, I don't know. We see him turn on Mondo at some point too. It's like all these questions.
Never know, you know. The problem is Robbie would have to talk. So I don't know. Maybe Mondo has forced him as the older brother to not talk when he's in the same room with him.
That's
because we saw that at the podcast here.
Right. Yeah. Well, we can assume that yeah, there's a big mental story there for their eventual feud between how Mondo was an abusive older brother.
There you go. You might lock them in a room when they're home.
Oh, man. All right. So right here we got Dante King defending that No Limits Championship against Bret the Threat.
And that was the picture immediately after Bret the Threat. We announced that he was getting the match with Dante King for the No Limits Championship.
I think Brett just found out, in fact, that Mondo used to lock Robbie in the closet when.
There you go. That could be it too. You also missed out on your favorite wrestler, Evan Daniels, getting an opportunity for the first time, taking on the rookie Adrian Rain, who will get a spot that many people didn't have on their bingo card that one of these gentlemen would be in the cash in the case.
Yeah. Yeah. And so is it fair to say in your eyes that maybe where Adrian is now is kind of where Evan was when you kind of were first working with Evan? And, you know, because Evan was green back then and, you know, Adrian's still green now, but not at the point where he shouldn't be getting opportunities.
No, because I think if I'm using a guy from Arizona, like Evan Daniels, I think he's got to be further along.
Okay.
You know, with fair Adrian enough. Rain, it took a while and he's gotten opportunities, but those first months of me using him on a show, if he was an out of town guy, he wouldn't have had a shot. Unless it was a future shock. Not that he doesn't work mainly future shocks, which he does, but he's elevated himself that, you know, there's these guys that you look at, the mariachis, that they're kind of both now. You know, it isn't like, hey, we need to focus on them because a future shock's coming up.
But in all fairness, the mariachis are from Santino Brothers.
That's true. You know, I see him at Dodger Stadium, you know. So, you know, who knows? You know, I only got him a gig at Prim, you know, in front of the roller coaster. So.
But, you know, this really is kind of a great opportunity for both of those guys. You know, obviously, Brett has come a long way. You know, Dante... if you're going to be a fighting champion, man, that's a good guy to put the title up against. And I think that when you look at, because right now they're both about the same years of experience. They have each about, what, 5 years in, somewhere around there. And it looks like both guys are, you know, on that trajectory up. You know, this just seems to be a very good matchup for both of them to, you know, probably
bring see up where they're rest. At.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll be honest with you. If you said 2 years ago, Bret the Threat and Dante King, Bret the Threat was still a main guy in FSW and Dante King wasn't getting on my shows for a reason. And then he moved here and training at FSW, he elevated his game. You know, nobody's going to deny that he has gotten himself in a good position. Yeah, I get to see him more, but yeah, he also worked with really good people to improve his game. Yep. Like later today, hit me up. Hey, you know, can we get in a little early today to get some work in? And obviously, we saw Gypsy Mac's car accident. Jeez. Yeah. I was told the guy tried to blame her for it. It's like, wow.
Jesus.
Yeah, but I guess he then finally saw the video of the guy, and you know he couldn't deny that he was because it was amazing how he just kept going like it was no big deal.
God, that was a horrifying picture to see, and again, like you know, I hate to say it, Joe, but your women's title is starting to get a little cursed.
I said that before. It just it continues. It's like. Unbelievable.
Yeah. If I'm Brittany Brooks, I'm like, you know what, man? It's cool. I'm just going to lay down. Go ahead, Gypsy. Keep the belt. Or get Gypsy disqualified so Gypsy keeps the belt, but Brittany wins the match.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And then we'll also have another big women's match on Saturday, Maserati and Zamaya. And, you know, if anybody is deserving of a title match, it is the champion who had to relinquish the title because of injury.
Right.
But obviously, Maz we probably would have had a triple threat match if she wasn't that eager to just hold off and take care of business with Zamaya first.
Yeah.
So we're going to have that match on the 31st. And who knows? You know, maybe a Maserati win. Conversations could be had about a triple threat match at, you know, the anniversary show. But right now, you know, Brittany and Gypsy are set. Might have a contract signing because obviously Gypsy is not in position to wrestle. Yeah. You know, as a precaution, you know, she says she's okay, but the doctors recommended that she took a couple weeks off. So she's supposed to be. We've heard that before, you know, with Brittany, with the knee that she thought, you know, there was going to be a chance. Hang on a second. I got to let my dog out. Oh, wife's gone. All right. Yeah, we're good.
I mean, it's all leading up to the Sweet 16 anniversary show on the 15th at 5 p.m. at Silverton. Any ideas now, just looking at this, you know, we've got, you know, Bodie, we've got Duke, you've got Greg Sharp, you've got the tag champs. I mean, just looking at some of these guys here, you know, where is everyone laying right now in their quest to be on that show?
Well, Gregory Sharp was offered a qualifying match at Cash in the Case to have the two. He declined because he said he will be cashing in the case at the anniversary show. Okay. Now, he hasn't disclosed against who. Knowing Gregory Sharp, I can without a doubt say he's not going to be finding a tag partner at the last minute. So, you know, obviously the favorite would be going after whoever wins a 30-minute Ironman match.
Right.
But, you know, hey, maybe he wants to knock off Duke Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he wants to take out Dante King. You know, I don't know. He's never held the No Limits title. Right. So,
Would the future Legends belt be up for grabs if he?
No, not on this show. We just have, you know, too many matches.
Well, and I'm saying though, you know, could Greg Sharp cash in on that belt?
Well, I guess if he drags Bodie out of the back, because the idea is the future Legends title is not going to be on the line. So whether Bodie's on the Cash in the Case match.
Greg is also, you know, a little beyond the future Legends age limit at this point.
Yes, slightly. So, you know, the idea is, you know, odds are Bodie's not going to be in the Battle Royal, but there's going to be a wild card spot. So there's five spots that are going to be made known on Saturday night, who's in the Cash in the Case, and there will be a sixth spot. Looking at the card and who maybe wasn't available on the 31st, somebody who's done great things in FSW, and we want to put them in that match. And, you know, being the boss and having the right to try to have the best show possible, putting the sixth person in there is going to be my decision. So it could be a Bodie, you know, and that is one thing that, you know, a lot of people love to see Bodie in the Cash in the Case.
Yeah.
He even pitched for it. He was like, hey, how great would it be to see me do the 450 off the ladder? I'm like, well, for us, it might be great. I'm not sure your mom would love the idea, but hey, your mom was the one who let you get skewered by Dr. Redacted that time. So, you know, I guess it was okay.
Well, and now he's 18. So now we're past, you know, mom having too much say on it, right? So, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure she did before anyway. So I think, you know, Bodie was doing what Bodie had to do to get to that level.
And Bodie's also got a little beef with Mr. Duke Lawrence, too. So,
yes, he does. He technically interrupted Duke, even though it was the end of his match, and his match did end, and he was you know, not part of being there. Duke cleared the ring of Oliver Kennedy, and Bodhi took it upon himself to interject, you know, now that you become an adult, you know, now you have to accept the consequences, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And
because I'm told through MK that all Duke did was wanted to thank people for coming out for the Future Shock, because he's wrestled there a few times, and wanted to let everybody know that, hey, you know, I'm going to be defending my title at the anniversary show, and I'll also be there the 31st, help announce the next show that was coming up, being a team player, according to MK. Yeah. And rudely was interrupted by Bodhi with a Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, well, I mean, and, you know, I'm sure Duke was about to say that he was going to do free autographs in the lobby and take pictures.
I'm pretty sure he was going to congratulate Bodhi on his victory.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's just, you know, sometimes these kids are just so rude at that age.
Overzealous is probably the word we're looking for there. Bodhi is a little overzealous, you know, maybe bit off a little more than he can chew. So, Duke and MK will be on hand on Saturday night. So we're interested to see, you know, MK now the manager of champions once again, as he is the manager of Transcendence, Saturn and Desire, and somebody who hadn't been around for a while, Koa, who just won the PCW title in Arizona. He returns on a high note. So the MK army is definitely in full effect.
And didn't MK himself just get a, like, Manager of the Year trophy in Arizona, too, I think?
Yeah, I believe when you're the only manager, it's pretty difficult not to win that.
Yeah, and you have money to get the trophy made. And
yeah, you know, I heard he bought it himself.
Yeah. Even designed it. It's an aerodynamic trophy, you know.
The MK banner should be coming up soon. You know, I told him I could pick up the banner at Sign Sing. It's only $999 if he wants it made. And he said we're good to go. So hopefully we'll be having the MK ceremony.
Bro, if MK gets a banner done, let's even say a mini banner that you can put right above the toilet, I think fans would take pictures with that all day.
Well, you know, right now we actually somehow somebody put a poster of this from the Silverton for one of the shows. Luck of the Draw, I think, is right above the toilet right now.
Right.
I noticed that. I think was signed by like one person. It might have been like signed by Damian Drake or something.
Man, I'm surprised no one on that poster who's gone in to use the restroom has signed that poster.
Yeah. Signed in urine. not like the wrestler who couldn't even hide the fact that he looked like he was peeing on somebody. Did you see that one?
Jesus.
I'm like, wow, it looks terrible. It's a dumb spot to begin with. It's like, so the guy who's getting peed on is allowing it. It's like, but you see the guy with his thing using like a little, like a squirt bottle of water. And I guess, you know, everybody's trying to do some viral moment.
Yeah.
That they're hoping they're going to get a bunch of views, because, you know, they get a million views, they'll get an extra $42 in their YouTube bank account. So
yeah, exactly. And they can ask for more than from the promoter.
You know, instead of saying as seen on AEW Dark, you know, as seen on viral video, you know, hey, it worked for Santana Jackson. All he did was a moonwalk DDT, and he got flown to WrestleMania. To wrestle, actually, it was a guy who now works for WWE. I forgot his name. He was Ryback's manager. And he was an indie wrestler who's now an agent at WWE. And he got flown to wrestle him.
Wow.
In WrestleMania when it was in New York, New Jersey a few years back.
Yeah. Wow.
So, hey. Well, worked for Santana.
Yeah,
he didn't have to pee on anybody either. So.
Right. I was going to say, I mean, that's the difference between, you know, you know, MJ Live Star Santana Jackson versus I'm the guy who peed on someone in the ring.
Yeah, yeah, because nobody would know his name anyway.
Right.
So literally, I can get an email from 50 people claiming to be that person, and I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever.
Hey, you know, hey, listen, Gigi Jolin, when she was Priscilla Kelly, the big moment she had was taking the tampon out of her her trunks and sticking that in someone's mouth. And it was like, oh, she'll never get hired at WWE doing that kind of stuff. So, you know, you never know. But then again, I doubt the P guy has the assets, shall we say, of a Gigi Dolan. So, you know, you mentioned the tag champs. What's the tag situation looking like for the anniversary show?
Well, we're going to see. There's numerous teams that are, you know, chomping at the bit. The Mariachis are getting an opportunity on the 31st. So we're going to see if the homegrown Santino's team can bring the belts back home to SoCal.
They don't have a show over there that night, right? They are clearly excited, right? So,
but yeah, so, you know, and we got teams like the Pretty City Express, who we haven't seen in a month or two, Class in Reno, mainstays here in FSW. We got the Suavecitos back. Yeah. You know, we got Sky High, Lights, Camera, Faction. I don't know what shenanigans may happen in that match, but who's to say, you know, those are two former champions.
Yeah.
You know, is it a match featuring former champions looking to regain their belts? You know, who's to say, you know, Royce and Jarrell don't come back? You know, who's to say it's the anniversary? The gods of war don't come back. You know, who said I'm not on the phone? Well, sorry, nobody's on the phone ever. I mean, who's on the Facebook Messenger making the connects?
Well, hey, man. First off, shout out to Hammerstone for winning the overall in California in the bodybuilding competition this past week. So, I mean, he's looking amazing as always, and always ready for a fight. So now if Mr. Graves, who seems like he's fighting again, if he's up for it, it'd be quite a challenge for you know, MK's team there to go against those two monsters.
You know, and then there's another team on the horizon all the time that we've always been very friendly with, Che and Tito. So
did Tito just go in for surgery though? I think I saw something on Facebook yesterday.
I did not see that. I just know he wrestled at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. I'm gonna look that one up.
It is possible. I didn't see it. I didn't hear anything about it. You know, we talk every couple weeks, see what's going on. If anything works, you know, Rumble show's coming up in November. Always like to, you know, add some star power to the Rumble match. You know, it is the anniversary, so, you know, we don't want to waste talent like Tito and put him in a battle royal.
Right. You
know, at least with the Rumble match, the winner gets the title shot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's also talk that this year we may do a smaller version of a women's Rumble.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because, you know, looking at the star power that we have in FSW now and who's moved to the West Coast and you know, between Trisha Doran and Layla Gray from AEW training with us now and living in Vegas, you got Brittany, you got Gypsy, you got Maz, you got Zamaya. You know, you got Olivier, Jada Stone, who we've been using, the Fallon Gray, Taylor York, you know, Brooke Havoc, who lives in Cali and is close to it with Brittany. We can easily get 10, maybe 15. It's just time consumption is very, very important, because now you're taking four matches, because it ain't two, you know, because the Rumble winner gets the heavyweight championship match. The Rumble winner would get the women's championship. Now you're at four matches.
Right.
Not that the Rumble is going to take up a lot of spaces, but, you know, you generally don't want to put the No Limits champion and the Nevada State champion in these kind of matches. And you're saying four matches, but 30-man Rumble is equivalent to three matches.
Yeah.
Right. We usually do six matches when we do the Rumble. Adding a women's Rumble and then the women's title match, that we would have had anyway because we would have had a women's match. But that Rumble takes up two matches. So now you're saying you're at seven matches. There's only going to be room for one more match. So, you know, maybe the Rumble gets you a title match in the women's division, take it slow, and maybe at the next FSW arena show. You know, it's just trying to make sure we can maximize the main talent. When you go to the casino show, you want to bring the best talent. So
now I'm going to take up the women's case on that one, though. So the whole thing with the guy, though, is if that guy wins that Rumble, he's got to face the champ that night. Is it fair to the women's champ that the women's winner would, you know, get a nice 2-week, 3-week vacation, be able to train, study, figure out?
Yeah, I don't love the idea, but again, it's like I prefer the idea of that was the reason for against the all odds, you know, the name having a meaning, not like TNA, who after 15 years decides to use it and now we can't anymore. And it doesn't mean anything. There's no odds. There's nothing against any odds. This is, you know, a Rumble match. You have to get through 30 people or 15, whatever, in the women's. And then after all that, defeat the heavyweight champion. And, you know, in our cases, Chris Bay did it and lost to Hammerstone 1 year. And then he did it and beat Hammerstone 1 year. So, you know, if you look at who wins the cash in the case and who cashes, generally the odds are way better than at the Rumble because it is against the odds.
Right. Are you hinted? Was that a hint? Was that a hint that you're calling Chris Bay winning the Rumble this year? Is that what I just heard?
That's not what you heard. But it would be a wonderful thing. But I, you know, we're all hoping it happens. But I think we, you know, it would be a while. Yeah. Maybe the next year. Maybe that could be the goal. Because I know his main goal would be to come back and wrestle at the Rumble at Luck of the Draw next year.
Yeah.
Not wrestle Rey Mysterio or Shane Strickland or Karrion Kross. It'd be to throw out Adrian Rain in the Rumble.
I don't know, man. If you worked it somehow that Matt Hardy came back, won the FSW championship, and then Chris eliminates the Rumble, you know, Adrian Rain in the Rumble.
I think AEW was running that weekend in the West Coast because Matt doesn't make it to the West Coast because of the travel, except for when he does.
Could you not just send him the belt, call him the champion due to some kind of technicality that happened 8 years ago, and then just have the match happen on the Hardy compound?
Well, that's what it would have to be. We'd have to go to him for that match.
Yeah, Mikey could film it, and it would get you the biggest views you've ever gotten, you know, for an FSW match, that's for sure.
I'm not sure. I think we've been involved with a lot of views when it's come to Cross or Bay.
True.
Yeah. Chris Bay walking down a ramp got more views than any match we've ever done.
Well, that was more impressive than, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. So, when you look at you know, Danny and Ice. You know, Danny's, I mean, he's so polarizing. He's so good at doing what he does, that I think sometimes he just doesn't get the credit of, you know, how good he really is at making people just hate him. You know, and when he works a match, man, you see why he's where he's at. And then you got Ice, who, you know, former champion and WWE ID and is getting these opportunities. And, you know, he's grown so much that when you think of 30 minutes and what these two can do in that 30 minutes, also the potential of a lot of shenanigans. That's the question. Are we looking at the faction guys and Danny's crew possibly being told, you know what, stay away. It's just these two 30 minutes, man on man.
I think that's the plan. And I think both wrestlers wanted that. They wanted to be, may the best man win. You know, Danny's taken a lot of pride of everything he's done in his career and in FSW, and him winning the championship, he thought, hey, you know what? I'm the guy. I'm the guy now. And, right. You know, first it was, I'm the guy. And then we do the benefit for Bay, and everybody still sees it's Cross's house, it's Bay's house, Hammerstone. And he feels slighted in that. And right before that, he feels slighted because Ice Williams is named to the WWE ID program. And Now all of a sudden, no fault of anybody, that we have our job to promote. And we're going to promote who? Hey, WWE ID wrestler Ice Williams is going to be here. We're working with WWE. That's a big thing for us.
Yeah.
Danny Limelight feels slighted again. Like, I'm the champion. But then Danny also has the thoughts in his head that when he first came to FSW, he wrestled Ice Williams for the No Limits Championship and lost. Yeah. And in other places, he has not beaten Ice Williams. So, number one, Danny now has never beaten Ice Williams. And now Danny Limelight is getting upstaged by Ice Williams. So it's not even the Cross and the Bay stuff and everything. It's Ice Williams. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. We were going to film a press conference the other day. And everything was set. Danny was coming in. And we got word from Ice Williams that after Danny made arrangements to come to Las Vegas, that WWE called Ice Williams and they're filming some stuff or whatever. And he had to leave Tuesday morning.
Sure.
And had to cancel. So what originally was set to be a live segment on Calm Before the Storm was now going to be a pre-tape segment that now was being canceled all along. We've announced the match. We did the stuff, but we were going to get the contract signing. We were going to, you know, show how important it is. The anniversary show, this is the main event. And again, Danny Limelight changes his schedule for Ice Williams. And it's not Ice's fault. But now Ice is like, hey, sorry, my first priority, because I signed a contract, I don't like it, is WWE. Yeah. Now, believe me, it deep down, it really bothers me because, well, who's to say, hey, they decide they want to do a taping and on June 13th, They're like, right. Hey, Ice, we need you in Florida.
Right.
Now, what the fuck is our main event? You know? So.
Well, then Hammerstone better be on your speed dial, bro.
Yeah, you know, it's like, so I didn't realize that, you know, I thought, hey, you know, this is an ID program. And the way it was initially structured, we would never think there would be issues. Then all of a sudden it was like, hey, we're doing these Evolve tapings and we're using these ID guys. So the idea of using them on certain independent wrestling shows that they kind of go on their own choosing, obviously they're not going to go to work Manny Lemon's show the day of our anniversary to take the booking.
Right.
But now they're at the whim of WWE when they're deciding they need to do something. So then I said, hey, Danny, who you couldn't make the show the 31st because he wasn't going to wrestle. They were doing a show at Reality of Wrestling. And this is true facts. So Limelight hits me up a couple weeks ago when we first talked about doing it on the 31st. Mikey had brought up the idea at the place with the video walls. And why don't we do the contract signing there? We can make it, you know, make it cool. Hey, I'm like, yeah, I'd rather do it for the live audience. Sorry. And then all of a sudden, Limelight's like, hey, bro, I got this opportunity. Booker's got a show. They want me to wrestle Enzo at Reality of Wrestling. And again, you know, yeah, you're booked for me, but you're not even booked to wrestle.
Right.
We're going to do a contract signing for a match that we've already announced. You know what? Let's go back to Mikey's idea. Danny's willing to come in on his own time, go do your match. Because I still figure Ice is going to be there.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, 5 days before, 5 days ago.
Right.
Reality of Wrestling announces Ice Williams for the May 31st. So I ended up seeing Ice. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? They're supposed to be there the 31st. Yeah, they need me for a match there. And it's like, well, we're supposed to do the press conference a few days earlier. Danny Limelight's already going to Reality of Wrestling anyway. What does Ice really have to do other than be at the show, just to be at the show?
Right.
And there was nothing I could do about it because he took the booking anyway.
Right.
Okay. So now we fast forward. Everything's set for Tuesday. Ice says, hey, I got to go to Florida. WWE needs. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, well, we can have the faction, I guess. But I'm like, well, what's the point? We've already announced the match. What are the faction going to do? Okay. Right. You know? So then I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, shit, wait. Both of these motherfuckers, they're going to be at Reality Wrestling.
Right.
Hey, guys, I need you to be professional and film some shit that went down there. Limelight hits me back up. Oh, they canceled the show. And I'm like, what the fuck? He's like, oh, it's all good. You know, they paid me and everything. It was cool. Something happened. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it was great for everybody but me. The guy who has nothing to do with that gets fucked out of the whole deal. Because everything we were building to do doesn't get done.
Oh, you need to text Booker, man. You got a book.
Well, supposedly it was a joint show, and of course Booker's blaming the other guy, according
to right. Yeah.
So it was like, so
oh man.
But then it's weird because I got a message from NJ, who does our commentary, who right. said he couldn't make it on Saturday because he's got Reality of Wrestling.
after you know now that the show's canceled. Right.
So now are they doing the show but canceled Danny Limelight's match, which is possible.
Yeah.
Because Enzo might have been being brought in by the other guy, so now they don't need Limelight. Now, like, I didn't study that enough because I actually have things to do. But now that I'm talking about it, I'm thinking, well, wait a second. Maybe there is a show, and they told Danny to stay home, and it was cheaper to just pay him.
Oh, my God. Well, now you got to see if Ice is still got that show. If Ice has still got the show, then the show's still going on. But, yeah, then Danny's match got canceled because Enzo's not getting paid. Yeah.
So, weird.
Oh, wow.
So, that's you know, that's the day in the life of being an independent promoter. And it's funny because, you know, guys, you know, I took the booking last month from the other place. And I'm like, okay, I understand. But you don't fucking understand. And it's like, this is the deal, motherfuckers. We run generally every 2 weeks, sometimes every 3 weeks. I'm like, okay, so we ran May 3rd, okay? So we put out the schedule. May 3rd, 2 weeks later, May 17th. 2 weeks later, May 31st. 2 weeks later on a Sunday, June 15th. Hey, when's the next show? Okay, it looks like June 28th. Hey, if you go every 2 weeks, you're pretty close to what we're probably going to do. So right. June 28th will be the next show. Then 2 weeks later, because it makes sense, July 12th. Okay. Right. What would be the next show? Well, probably not the week after. So probably 2 weeks later. Right. So July, because we want to get two shows in a month. So the week, the Saturday we lean toward, which is July 26th, which is my birthday. Do I run around my birthday? Maybe, maybe not. If not, it's the 25th. If you go on that pattern, you have an idea. Yeah, but somebody hit me up for August. Well, then you say, listen, tentatively, I'll take the booking, but I need to find out if FSW is running. And I'm not talking about the Demirs and the Davions and the Adrian Reigns. If it's not a future shock, there's no guarantee you're going to be on that main show. Okay, so you're probably okay. But if it's a future shock and you guys aren't taking my date for future shock, when do you fucking think you're going to be on a show? It's like, we can't be your priority, motherfuckers. Like, I explained to them, when Championship Wrestling from Hollywood run and they decided to change the date, we lost Willie Mack and Brian Cage and Sean Ricker on numerous things because that was their number one. And I didn't hold it against them. And it's like, but you guys can't make me your number one, which is also fine, except the fact that when you're available and then I don't use you, then all of a sudden you have beef and Joe doesn't use me. What the fuck? Right. Blah, blah, blah. Yet you couldn't make three of the last five shows on your own, but now I'm supposed to book you because now you're available to me. And it's right. not even the fact that sometimes you might be working in Arizona. Like, hey, I try to keep up when PCW's running. Hey, they ran a Future Shock the day we were running. Okay, well, if a couple guys couldn't make it, oh, well, that was their date. They booked it. I have my date.
Yeah.
I need it. Sometimes, locally, there's Ricky doing his shit and Pride Styles doing their shit and somebody else is doing their shit. And it's like, well, I try to avoid, but there's certain times I can't. I'm not going to miss a show and run a month later because they're running a show at 7 or 8 o'clock and I'm running a show at 5 o'clock. But when my crew right. isn't making my show to go over there to set up a fucking ring, then I got a problem with it.
Right.
And yep. for whatever reason, they don't want to understand that. So if they don't want to understand it, it's called go ask a vet, go ask Kenny, go ask Sin, go ask Cody, go ask Remy, go ask Bay, go ask anybody who has a clue. Go ask Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire what it means to commit yourself to somebody.
Yeah.
They're committed to FSW. Whatever happens, they wanted to be part of FSW. While the other ones who are gifted it, where it's the easiest thing in the world, they're the ones who make it that difficult. Like, I always post student page, hey, here's the upcoming shows. And there's times the same guy won't post for the shows. And I saw he posted this time. It's like, well, it's funny because obviously in May we had a future shock. But now you've dropped to the bottom of the line, bro. We got a lot of dudes. And unless I got a spot, I'm not making one for anybody anymore.
Right.
It's like I got between the Jaden Monroes and the RJ Wilds and all these Arizona guys. I got two or three emails in the last couple days because, you know, we have the list of the email list. So I send out the email blast. Well, sometimes the email blasts are sent out to somebody who sent an email that bought a ticket for Mania weekend that actually right. wrestling. And like, hey, I wrestle in San Diego. I work for SoCal Wrestling. Blah, 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 blah. I saw you have a show. I'd like to come and introduce myself and help out and, you know, make myself known. I'm like, awesome. I said, but don't be like most people. Come there to actually help and meet me and just meet me and then hang out the whole show. That's not fucking right. help. You want to help? We'll always take people's help. That's how people get on shows. That's how that Arizona crew, you see all these people that got on shows. Most of them either dropped off because they might have got on a couple shows and it didn't last, or their work didn't get, you know, they can come with the crew, but when that crew ain't putting you over, you're probably not getting something. But right. when you do come, sometimes somebody doesn't show up. I need a six-man tag. That's when you get your opportunities. And when you go out of your way to help me, I'm always going to be the person who's going to go out of my way to help you.
Right.
And give you that chance. So, you know, let's see. I've gotten a bunch of messages and with Mania Weekend and all these people that want to work. And it's like, I could do a Future Shock. And as long as I put, you know, generally Warren, Johnny Royal and Colin there, I'm going to get to the 50, 60 people.
Right.
What's the difference? If your work rate ain't that good and you're not helping, I might as well use some guy from California or Arizona who's going to work for little to nothing, who's right. probably way better than you because they get on a bunch of shows, but they know the only way to get on FSW is to get through Future Shock and right. and make the effort to be a part of the show. It's like you're not guaranteed anything. Like you will be on the show at Future Shock if you're a student of FSW when you're
ready.
Way less talented. Not, I won't say talented. Way less experienced or way less ready than the guy from Arizona. If you're equal to the guy in Arizona and you're getting on Future Shock, he's got no fucking shot. So the fact that you got there, you should be fucking privileged and honored to be on there. And that's what I get from these messages from people. Oh, it'd be an honor to work for FSW. Oh, we know your promotion. We love you. We love everything you're doing. We see what you're doing. Wow. It's crazy how it means so much to all these other people because they see what opportunities are available. And the ones who don't appreciate are the ones who fucking walk into it.
Yep.
And again, maybe it's because they just see it and it's just assumed. I don't know.
Yeah.
It continues to be the same shit over and over. You know, we did what? We did Future Shock. And again, there's a lot of younger guys. But then there's the younger guys now, the ones who are going to be a month in, 3 months in, 5 months in, that they're all going to be scratching and clawing in the next few months to try to get that spot that Deshaun just got on Future Shock. And what happens? We got 8 of them. We got 12 of them. We got 15 of them. Who knows? Plus the other guys who weren't on the show. And then we get 3 people to show up to help. Like nobody's able to come by to help. To be a part of the show, to watch a show. Watch somebody you train with when you do come. Who you saw. Who when you first started, you were like, oh, this guy's all right. And then he got to the point where we're like, hey, this guy's gotten pretty good. Like Deshaun, he's going to make his debut match. Just to support your own guy, you think you'd fucking show up.
Yeah.
Because again, working the show means standing at the front when the show's getting ready to start. And then when the show starts, you stand in the fucking entranceway and watch the fucking show and make sure that you break up all the brawls that we've had, which has been 0 in 16 years. Somebody jumping in the guardrail. It's like, you don't need to jump the guardrail. There's enough room to walk into it. You know what I mean? And it's like none of that has ever happened. So your job is to basically, when the show ends, grab the 15 chairs. So when there's 9 of you, it takes fucking 5 minutes.
Yep.
When there's 3 of you, oh my goodness, it took 12 minutes to get everything back, cleaned out the 5 water bottles, and left and came back on Monday. Wow, this is really hard fucking work.
Yeah. But it's not being TikTok famous, so.
Somebody told me that guy who does marketing, he said that we should just put a camera up and put it in the kids' class. He said you'd be surprised how many views you'd get.
I agree. 100%. You'd want parent consent, obviously, because they're kids. But other than that, 100% agree.
Yeah, you know, FSW TikTok, does it exist? Who the fuck knows? But it could.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it could also give a great outlet for some of the guys to, you know, to, I don't know, cut videos and do shit on social media. That
I think the kids class kids do video, do promos more than the main roster, not main roster, than the students do. Because they're so passionate because they love wrestling and they never thought that anything like this existed.
Well, and don't forget too, this is the one of the things, you know, even being an actor as a kid, when you're that age, you're still in your mind emulating, right? So you're having fun, you're emulating, you want to cut promos because you're still playing, you still have that youth in you. Then you get to this point where, you know, well, I'm 19, I'm 22. I'm a wrestler. I'm good. I'm a wrestler. I don't have time for this. I don't want to play. This is what I do. I'm a wrestler. It's like, no, motherfucker. I mean, you look at these guys who are 50 and they're still playing. This is what wrestling is. It's theatrics. It's playing. It's having fun. It's finding characters. You know, you have to still be an 8-year-old kid and love wrestling and love just playing, you know?
You know, as they say, you can lead a horse to water. But, you know, and as I said, you know, we've talked about it numerous times about how when you look at people, you know, there's a chance for them to be something special.
Yeah.
And again, have I been proven wrong? Has the early laziness been just early laziness or not being aware or not understanding? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's always the ones that stick out. You know, this guy who comes in, younger student, still a student. He actually did the practice match with Deshaun or Jaden Cole, who got to wrestle. And they worked each other at the Gabe seminar. And Jazeer's been with us a while. He ended up disappearing for a while, had to handle some business. But he's been back consistently now for the last month or two. Before that, he got hurt. So he wrestled that match hurt, but he wanted to do the match in front of Gabe, disappeared for 2 months. I'm like, dude, where are you at? Oh, I hurt my shoulder. Got to communicate, trying to make these people understand. But like, right. I'll get there. And a lot of times people get there before class starts. So I get there and I see this kid fucking sweating because he's been running around the fucking school. Waiting for the doors to open, getting work in, doing shit.
Yep.
While the other lazy fucks just sit on the fucking, they just stand there waiting. Boom, doom, doom, doom.
Dude, you know, that was the thing. Samoa Joe. If you weren't in the ring working, okay, so if it wasn't your spot in the ring, the rest of the class was outside either on exercise bikes, doing calisthenics, or working, you know, simple lockups and technique stuff. You were always doing something back then because that was it. You kept yourself in shape. You kept yourself sharp and you kept yourself trying to figure out, you know, how do I apply this time that I'm spending right now to getting myself better and prepared, being ready, because the preparation is the other thing. And that's it. It was always do something. Don't just sit there. Don't just stand there. You know, pretty simple.
And you know, and it's funny because, you know, people do get there early. You know, back in the day, you'd walk in and you'd see Chris Bay and Lacey and Matt and everybody who was there early. And you would see, and it's funny because you'd see, and then you fast forward, and it's like, man, Lacey always used to be training and stuff. Man, she's in WWE. hey, Chris Bay, he works for TNA. Man, and he's always training. Mm-hmm. Like, what makes you think that you could show up once or twice a week and you're going to make it if this is what your goal is? Because I'm assuming this is what your goal is, to make it.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, it's Memorial Day. Yeah, Bateman's not going to make it. Well, why do I need a trainer? You know, it's Memorial Day because guess what? Four people showed up. Well, maybe if 12 people were showing up consistently, I would know there'd be people there.
Yep.
And it'd be like, you know what? Let me try and see who's available.
Yep.
To be there. Because it's like, you just signed up. And like that, this week we got two new signups. Let's see. You know, the last few months we probably had four or five, and there's probably one left out of the four or five.
Yeah.
That signed up in the last 2 months.
Yep.
And now we had two sign up in back-to-back days. And I got messages. Because I'm not going to count Luke Curtis and Layla Gray as signing up. Here's someone who's actually signed with AEW, and she signed up to train and pays the minimum dues, of course.
Yeah.
Because she's not going to pay what everybody else pays. But it's like, no questions asked. You know, I don't understand it. You know, but wait, you work AEW. You might work one match a month. What do you need to train for? Like, people want to get better. They want better spots in AEW.
Yeah.
Like, you want to get on shows, but I don't really see you. You know, I yell at Oliver all the time. Big guy. Him and Bodhi did well. It's like, dude, I get you work and you have to work, but if this is what you want to do, you can't show up on Remy's class on Friday, 3 out of every 4 weeks, and that's the only time we see you.
Yeah.
We have a show, you're not there, unless you're on it.
Right.
It's hard for me to justify, because I'll be honest, Bodhi wasn't going to wrestle Oliver at that show. He was going to wrestle Colin Muldoon, who happened to have an out-of-state booking, because we didn't put Future Shock for a month or so. And it's like, I get it. It's his first thing. But be aware. Find out when the show is, bro. That's a show you're going to be on. Oh, we got Cash the Case qualifiers. Yeah, no Muldoon. It's like, no. The 12 other guys that would have been ahead of you, I guess, are available. Dumb fuck. You know, there's being confident and kind of cocky, but there's also kind of being like, dude, shut the fuck up. You know, he's not one to, you know, listen and learn.
Right.
He's the one to listen and then tell you why his idea, even though he's never done it before, is better than everybody else's.
Right.
You know.
And it never
Hey, what are you doing here on a Monday? Oh, well, it's open gym. Oh, so when there's a trainer telling you what to do, superstar, what you're saying is you don't really want to come in that often when you're being told what to do. Because God forbid these superstars have to do the exercises that the trainer entails.
Right.
Like, I know people who specifically don't come because they might have to do 100 squats.
Nope.
And it's like, you come whenever you want, but you're going to get jumped over, bro.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's.
But we could talk about the big news that I thought, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, I was looking forward, you know, with the rooms at the casinos, getting more rings. WrestleMania is supposed to be back next year. Like, I could close up shop and just do shit for Mania. But I'd have to pay the rent. You know what I mean? It's right. Like, now, you want to have Romania here 2 out of every 5 years, I'll be more than happy to sign a new lease. I'm just going to look for a different place where I can make it work and maybe make some more money. But that, you know, this is a wonderful thing. And it's like, oh my God, the fans are so upset. It's like, yeah, because the fans give a fuck if they're going to Orlando, if they're going to New Orleans, if they're going to LA, if they're going to Vegas, or they're going to Butte fucking Montana. Because if WrestleMania is at Butte, Montana, these motherfuckers are going to spend their fucking money and they're going to go to Butte, Montana because they want to go to watch WrestleMania.
Yep.
The guys who owe dues and the guys who haven't paid dues and the guys who don't come because they can't afford dues, guys who can't come, people can't come to our show because they can't afford the $30 for a show because they spent their $480 to go get a fucking Steve Austin picture, will somehow figure out a way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, I just, it's funny because the backlash is, oh, the ticket prices are too high. Oh, you know, it's so expensive in Vegas and et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, the commonality of that idea is the people who are bitching are the people who maybe a small percentage went, but are people who are not going to go anyway, right? So it's complaining, it's blaming the WWE or the city for pricing you out to an event that even if it was affordable, you're still not going to. And the people who are going to attend this are going to do exactly what they did last year, whether it's in Vegas or New Orleans or, like you said, you know, just some random city. That's what this is.
We did the ToyCon last year, okay? Yeah. And not a lot of wrestling fans came because Mick Foley canceled, and he was the day we were going to do the show. So it was mainly more of our fans and some, and then the randoms that were there. The next day, Sting was signing. And they brought in Ziggler at the last minute. He had no line because it was the last minute. But Sting was through the fucking door, out the fucking door of the line for like $100 for a fucking picture and shit like that. So it doesn't matter where or when and whatever. Wrestling fans are going to find their way. If you want to say they got no money, that's the biggest misconception. We went to the Hard Rock Cafe and the guy's like, hey, we want to do a watch. And I'm like, okay, let me see, you know, hit up my connections, gave them a list. We got down to the final fucking stretch, we're at 2 weeks before. There's 8 watch parties being announced. You got Jake the Snake and Danhausen downtown. And you got Mark Henry doing a after party DJ set at the karaoke place up the street. There's places everywhere. Now we're like 12 days away, and I convinced them, and I talked with Morrison when I saw him at AEW. They loved the idea of doing an after party Saturday after Mania, because I also talked with a couple other places, and we were talking, and I convinced John, because John will work for way less. I said, hey, what do you think about doing a comedy show? And the Hard Rock loved it, and then John liked the idea, and I'm like, hey, we can do this. He's like, yeah, I can't work with Ziggler because, you know, the brother's suing AEW, so that's off limits. So let's figure this out. Now it's, yeah, probably 12 days away. So the guy at the Hard Rock hits me up. We got to get this done. I'm going to be out of town for 2 or 3 days. Okay. So I get in touch with John. He doesn't respond back. Now I hit up the Godfather on the Monday. Give him the price. I'm like, hey, bro, I haven't heard back from John. But we can do the watch party because he wanted John to do the after party.
Right.
And the watch party the same day, which would have been the pay twice. It was 2 different gigs.
Right.
So they saved some money. I brought in Ice. MK brought in Missy.
Yep.
And we ended up doing that. Literally on the Monday, it's confirmed for the Godfather. And that was it at the point. Now he's out of town. I'm like, hey, I need the contract. I need to know what's up. And then we're at Thursday. And then the problem was the Godfather, because I didn't leave a message, just automatically marked it as spam. So when I texted him, he wouldn't respond. So I finally got in touch with him. Because now I'm like, fuck, I don't know if I'm stuck. Morrison hit me back. I'm like, hey, I don't know what's up with the Godfather. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So now it's Thursday, which we're now 9 days away, literally. And there's not one mention about the Godfather. All it is on the Hard Rock site is, hey, come check out the watch party. Right. Special guest to be announced.
Right.
I'm like, fuck, this is going to be a fucking nightmare. But it's the Hard Rock. They got money.
Right.
Well, one and done in this place. So I get in there. I walk in. WrestleMania watch party, third floor. Special guest star. Wow, it doesn't even have the millions of people walking across the street. Like a new sign that says, hey, it's the Godfather. So we're there early. I see my guy. I'm like, dude, have you even sold any tickets? Oh, yeah, we're at like 80 already. I'm like, holy shit. How the fuck are you at 80? So turned out we did over 100 people there.
Yeah.
I'm going to take all the credit in the world, but I don't know if there was any way we made, you know, the Godfather didn't even post it. I don't think it even has a Twitter Godfather. It's like it's an old Twitter that's never used.
Right.
But somehow we did very, very well. And now it's like, hey, let's do the watch party Saturday and Sunday. Let's do the after party with the comedy show. Let's book things in advance. And now we know we can get these things done. So it's okay. Like, yeah, I'm going to be a busy motherfucker. But being busy is great. But being busy and making no money is really draining. But yeah. Being busy and making a lot of money for that week is a week you're not going to get back. There's no week. There's no 4 month stretch that we're going to make as much money that was going to be made.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, just renting out the arena. You know, was it difficult? Sure. You know, I talked to some people, you know, the minute I said, hey, I guess we're going to have to take reservations, you know, Coder was ready. We want the same time slot. You know, a couple were like, yeah, we got to see, you know, because for a lot of them, it was one and done. They wanted the experience right. And they didn't do as well as they would have hoped. And it was costly.
Yeah.
But they wanted the experience and be there.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what? Now there's newer companies that haven't done it and like, oh shit, we missed out last year. Let's see if we can get things done. But now I'll make sure I get everything right. And we'll have that Saturday at noon that didn't exist last time. Now I can do Saturday at noon because I didn't fuck up and then go to the Hard Rock for the watch party.
Right.
Yeah. And now that I know I could get really good rates for the station casinos, I ended up getting a few, but that was all everybody was coming in the week of. Now right. I can get all the people that are renting the arena and like, hey, bro, this is the rate I can get you because I already know compared to what it is. Hey, I can get you 120 a night at the stations.
Yep.
And you'd have to pay 260. Or, hey, you want to stay at Red Rock or Green Valley Ranch? Well, it's $450 a day for you. Well, I could get it to you for $240. Do you want to stay in a high-end hotel? Because Station Casino has Boulder Station. It's fine. Palace Station's a little better. Sunset Station's a little better. Green Valley and Red Rock, you know, top-notch.
And Durango now. And Durango now, too. So. Yeah.
You know, so I can get you a much cheaper rate. I can save you, you know, six was when I looked last time, I think it was the Red Rock that I was able to save $400 on the stay for like 4 days.
Yeah.
That's how much cheaper it was. You know, I guess that adds up with the years of losing. You get those rates, you know.
Oh, Joe, for once in your life, it pays to be a loser.
There you go. You know, way better deal than my $1,400 leather duffel bag.
Oh, man. All right, final thoughts as we wrap up this week.
Well, you know, we got big shows this Saturday. You know, we got things out a little late. But, you know, we got Maz and Zamaya. Brittany Brooks is going to be there and Gypsy. The Nevada State champion will be there. The No Limits title, great matchup. Brett the Threat, you know, who's been doing some great things. He moved to NorCal, and he's all over the place.
Look what NorCal did to him.
That's what I'm saying. You know, Mariachi Montaña, they're getting a title shot against the new tag team champions. We got a Cash in the Case tag team qualifier, so good matchup between the Faction and Sky High. We got Evan Daniels. We got Jay Vidal and Thugnificent. And Evan Daniels is taking on Adrian Rain. So, you know, sky's the limit. It's going to be a great show. Come check it out.
Yeah. And again,
tickets on at Eventbrite or hit me up and save the fees.
There you go. And again, that's on the 31st at 7 p.m. at the FSW Arena. And again, if you're not in town, you can watch it on Triller TV or just send Joe a $5 check and he could stream it to you. And you probably get more money that way right now than
there you go.
Through Triller. All right, everyone. Until next time, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you guys then.